is Eddie, and I was in a call.
Planet Earth about to be recycled. Your only chance to survive or evacuate is to leave with us.
Started as an effort by a charismatic preacher to build a new society, but it ended, of course, with the tragic deaths of more than 900 people.
Please, for God's sakes, let's get on with it. We've lived as no other people have lived and loved. We've had as much of this world as you're going to get. Let's just be done with it. Let's be done with the agony of it. This is a revolutionary suicide. This is not a self-destructive suicide. So they're paying for this. They brought this upon us.
I love you, and I want you out of it and with Christ.
But you're...
Still involved in accidents last night, and you called on my name? It's not accident. It's not accident. It's not accident that some sitting on the front row, a car catches fire and a tire rolls, and no one has their hands on the wheel as the Sister Taylor. It's not an accident. No, no. I'll tell you, why don't you just try to accept it? You don't understand the law of electricity. Why don't you try to use me? It works. It works. No longer a dream, but he's real, real, real. He's answered our prayer for the King to come. On earth among men, and his will to be done. His deity cannot be denied, for he is our perfection, personified. He's no longer a vision, no longer a dream, but he's real, real, real. He's no longer a vision, no longer a dream, but he's real, real, real.
Open the door.
Answered our prayer for a kingdom to come. On earth among men, and his will to be done. Your deity cannot be denied, for you are perfection personified. He's no longer a vision, no longer a dream. He's real, real, real. You're no longer a vision, no longer a dream.
But you are real,
real, real. You have answered our prayer for a kingdom to come. On earth among men, and a will to be done. Your deity cannot be denied, for you are socialism personified. You're no longer a vision, no longer a dream. You're real, real, real. You're no longer a vision, no longer a dream. He's real, real, real. He has answered our prayer for the kingdom to come. On earth among men, and his will to be done. Your deity cannot be denied, for you are perfection personified. You're no longer a vision, no longer a dream. You're real, real.
I thank you, bless you. I thank you. I thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Through Joan's Colored Glasses. This is Cultish, entering the kingdom of the cults. My name is Jeremiah Roberts. Again, Jeff Durbin is not in the studio today. He is recovering from a scary little health scare that he had, but he's doing better, so he's spending some important downtime with his family. I am here in the studio today, and with me is, hopefully you listened to part one, because what you listened to in part one is going to listen to what we're going to talk to today, part two, of Jones's worldview and the things that, what he believed and how this led to Jonestown. So Andrew is with me again, my trusted researcher and good friend. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. The background sleuth, doing all the research, is back again, and I am just ready to be here and talk again about Jim Jones and just go into that even further about his own specific theology and claims to deity. And it's going to be a wild ride, to be honest.
Yes, it is. So what you guys just heard was audio from the People's Temple. And this is what you heard was the last episode. We played a clip of Jones claiming to be God. We talked about George Baker, Father Divine, who taught Jim Jones that he was God. We wrapped up that last episode with people from the Peace Mission Movement worshiping Father Divine. Now it's been taken to the next level. All of those, every stanza in that verse was a praise, an adoration to the divine God, Jim Jones. And people believe that in the same way that we would sing a hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Mm-hmm. We are giving praise and adoration to the biblical triune God. And here people are talking about he's deity personified. Mm-hmm. And talking about that, there's a stanza at the very end where Jones jumps in and he uses the word he injects socialism, his socialistic ideal, along with this new age, new thought movement.
Socialism personified. But
yes. Oh, it's like, whoa. I mean, there's that classic GIF that I've posted multiple times. It's from the movie Signs. If you guys haven't seen it, where Joaquin Phoenix is watching the TV and he freaks out and he jumps back. I feel like preparing this episode, that's happened to me multiple times. So, so yeah, man, it's fascinating because here again, you see now it's, you have this idea, this divine idea of socialism. And this is fascinating too, man. You can jump in on this and give me your thoughts on this, is that again, with a lot of these documentaries, there's this obsession with Jim Jones, and there's a focus on the dead bodies and the drinking the Kool-Aid. And it's funny because you go around and you look at almost anyone you can have a conversation with. So I drive for Uber and I just say, hey, so you know the phrase drinking the Kool-Aid, right? And everyone's like, yeah. Well, do you know who Jim Jones is? No. Do you know, have you heard the phrase drink the Kool-Aid? Oh yeah. Heck yeah. I know that. This is 40 years later. That's an iconic thing.
Yeah.
And so that's the focus. You know, the documentary is about what happened that day and that focus, but focusing in on what we're talking about, it seems like they just completely ignore that. What now with your research, and what do you think about that, man?
Yeah, so whenever I'm watching a documentary that's taking place during this time, because this is a new documentary you're referring to from Sundance, right?
Yeah, it just came out. I watched all four episodes. It premiered. It got produced by Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, wow.
And its focus, again, is primarily on the crazy stuff, mm-hmm. like Jones's abuses and things like that.
Yeah.
So, but then they go into like what happened in Guyana and with Leo Ryan and defectors and the abuse and stuff like that happened. So their focus is really in on the abuse, the sexual abuse, right, and the physical abuse and being, you know, the slave labor they're forced to do in Guyana. And obviously the people who are recounting just the trauma of seeing in person when children were injected with this potassium cyanide and were killed, and that's horrific. But this stuff that we're talking about, they mentioned one quote where Jones says socialism.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, that's just his idea of what it was, but they don't really go into any of this stuff.
Yeah, I think there's a reason for that, because like I was saying, when I watch documentaries, I try to look at them through, especially if it's a modern one, like, well, what's going on in society today?
Right.
You know, what's popular today? You know, what? Democratic socialism.
Yeah.
You know, so why would they want to talk about something where so many, you know, millennials are so influenced by this political essential revolution in America? They don't want to create that anger, you know, that they would rather do is they would rather play to the image of God that's inside everyone, seeing that this death and this atrocity occurred,
right,
to try to get those viewers to try to create that emotional pull while not really talking about the truth of the issue, because the truth of the issue with socialism and communism is actually popular today.
Yeah.
Instead, they would rather say that he was a Christian man, or he was part of a Christian cult. Instead, we want to point the finger almost at, look what happened because of Christianity.
Right.
You know, not this ideal of socialism. That could be the conspiracy theorist in me, mm-hmm. that thinks that, but at the same time, I mean, it's kind of the world we live in.
Right. Right. And so, yeah, and what's interesting too is that, I mean, the emphasis that they ignore is just the incredible amount of New Age and occultic influence that Jones had. We just kind of gave you guys some primary examples in the last episode, and how it went all the way back to India, and how India essentially went to America and then went down to Guyana.
Yeah.
That's what happened. That makes sense too. If you guys listen to Ground Zero Jonestown, there's that guy who's talking about reincarnation and past lives and everyone who's crossed over. And that idea comes from Hinduism and reincarnation.
Yeah, so it's reincarnation. You can end the cycle of reincarnation by getting to a certain point.
Yes.
Whether it be, you know, releasing and letting go of all of overcoming your senses, essentially, like in Buddhism, to reach nirvana.
Right.
So taking this idea of reincarnation, Jim Jones actually turned that into divine economic socialism. What he actually preached, what he taught was you'll end this cycle of reincarnation by becoming a communist, a full-fledged Marxist-Leninist. He says this. There's quotes from him. He says, once you are a communist, you will end the cycle of reincarnation. You will keep coming back. You'll keep coming back if you're a capitalist.
Right.
So what we even hear future, which we'll go into the next episode with Jim Jones, and pretty much these people sacrificed their lives for divine economic socialism, made these pledges and testimonies, and they weren't afraid to do it because, wow, what happens? They reached the pinnacle of their existence afterwards.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And then what's fascinating is not only you have the New Age movement that is prominent in today's society, that, and you look at just what Jim Jones did, and we talked about this a little bit in part one, but this, the emphasis on social justice and fighting and racial equality and those sort of things. I mean, we're in a political environment very similar where there's a lot of talk about, you know, the rise of white supremacy and white privilege and all those kind of now, because it's for a while, it seems like there's this focus on rich versus poor, but now they switch from economic classes to now classes of race to kind of really populate Marxism. We've seen that a lot, like right now in our society. But what's interesting is that Jim Jones, especially, you know, there's a lot that he did, a lot of good, like you would call it, if you didn't know, if you just saw someone doing this, you're like, you know, that's really good and really virtuous. There's a story, for example, in Indiana, there was a lot of racial segregation. One of the things people may not know is that Jones's adopted son, Jim Jones Jr., he was the first black child to be adopted in the history of Indiana.
That's right.
And Jones specifically did that because he wanted to have the idea of the rainbow family and having this mixed family together. But there's a story, the really interesting story too, right when Jim Jones was first starting, like he really genuinely believed in equality and really helping those people. And I think there's a part of it where, you know, people now view him as this crazy maniacal person and you see the ultimate end. But, you know, I believe that Jones was an image bearer of God.
Yep.
And people who are not in Christ still have the ability to love their neighbors. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just say that there were probably moments in Jones's life where he saw injustice. And I think the image bearer of God in him at that moment probably said, no, this is not right. I'm going to do something about it. However, he still had an underlying worldview because, like I said, the Bible says we all know God, but we suppress the truth and unrighteousness.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you'll see him mirror God as an image bearer of God, fighting for equality. But then there's this act of suppressing the truth and righteousness when he says that he's God, but the Bible says that he knows the true triune God, but he's without excuse for denying it. So that being said, there's this interesting instant right at the beginning of Jones's quote unquote ministry in Indiana, where there was a lot of the restaurants, for example, that were whites only, and there was this, or the segregation. And so he had a moment where he would go to different restaurants and he would basically say, and to kind of negotiate with them saying, you know, you need to go and you need to have equality because this isn't right. I'm going to preach against you, but here's what we'll do is that we'll come into your restaurant at times where it's not occupied. It's not really that busy and we'll fill the seats, but it's going to be with both whites and blacks and we're going to fill it up and you can go ahead and like, we'll pay for it. We'll take care of it. But you have to continue to, you can't have it be whites only. You have to have it as examples. So he would do that. So there's multiple restaurants that were like whites only, but he would fill it up when like the restaurants weren't too busy. You know, there's only a couple people, so it wouldn't be a big commotion. They wouldn't try and bring a bunch of people in. So they would fill up the whole restaurant, and it was win-win for everyone because the waiters and waitresses, they had, you know, they were able to get tips, and they were able to have, you know, customers in-house, and there's more money for the restaurants there. And, you know, people would fill in, and the People's Temple would pay for everything. So you would say, you know, that's really nice. That's virtuous. But again, it's a there. What was the underlying worldview? It was to propagate the divine idea of socialism. So one other thing real quickly, and I'll let you jump in if you have any comments, is that so Jones, prior to meeting Father Divine, still had this idea. I mean, he was influenced as a child. One thing is also interesting, too, is that you see all these things compiling on top of each other. When he was a child, all of his friends were like into like G.I. Joe and America's Fighting Man.
Right.
For whatever reason, he was really intrigued by Hitler.
Yeah.
Now, it had nothing to do with the philosophy or ideology of the Nazis, but it was primarily had to do with how Hitler would speak in his communication. If you ever seen any of the old Nazi propaganda videos of what Hitler was talking, they always show when he's like totally maniacal and like, you know, screaming and like, shaking his fist. But he had times where he would have these like pauses and silence, and he would talk quietly. He would kind of draw people in. So he was a master order of words. So there's a lot just in regards to Hitler's communication speaking ability that also influenced Jones. So, but it wasn't until also that prior to meeting Father Divine, he was into this equality, but he always believed that he wanted to be like one of just kind of, he wanted to be the people's champion. He wanted to be one of them. So he never thought to like have this sort of elite life above everyone else until he met Father Divine. Because that's when, you know, Father Divine had this like the limousine and all these sort of things. And that's where he kind of took that idea, when, especially when he's in the People Temple, where he was sort of elite and personified and was kind of like a high roller in a sense. So, yeah. Did you want to jump in on anything in regards to that?
Yeah, I think you hit on some really good points. I mean, anyone, essentially, when they hear someone who's really good at public speaking or someone who has a big influence on the world, there are those people who say, well, how can I imitate that? How can I be like that? You know, he had these ideas of oppression and seeing inequality around him from where he grew up. And he wanted to make that difference and change. So he said to himself, like, how can I do that? Well, I'm going to emulate them. Mm-hmm. And what better than to say, listen to me, I'm God.
Right.
You know, that's his, is blunt as you can really put it.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because I mean, we've listened to a lot of Jim Jones's sermons, and it's one of those things too where it's like, hey, you know what? I need to take a break. I need to read like Psalms. Or I need to just read like a John Piper book and kind of like re-cleanse my palate, because some of the stuff is just nuts, and it's also, there's an underlying level of, I mean, it's interesting hearing this, because you'll hear him and people cheering him, but everyone knows where this ended. So when you hear these sermons and him twisting scripture, you realize that these people are going along with this message of death. And he's wrapping scripture verses like in foil under this, you know, view of this like divine economic socialism and doing this sort of stuff. And, you know, we mentioned in the Jesus of the Cults episode that what's the premise of Walter Martin Gate? You have the $1 bill, you have the $10 bill, that precedes the real $10 bill, that precedes, or if you have a counterfeit $10 bill, that precedes the reality of a real $10 bill. And the only way you can know counterfeits is to become so familiar with the original. So if you guys have done your homework, like we had told you to do in that episode, you know, you should be able to hear what Jones says in these sermon clips that we have. And you should be able to say, no, I'm not buying that. And I think what's heartbreaking is that if there were people, these people who are cheering, if someone had pulled them aside and said, no, look what the Bible says, you got to get out of this movement. And, you know, that didn't happen. And they followed this guy down and believed that he was God.
Yeah.
And like I said, everyone knows how that ended up.
We got to understand as well that he targeted specific people, you know, people that were illiterate. Illiterate people who can't read the Bible for themselves.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he goes ahead and tells them what to believe. You know, he educates them. He gives them a place to live.
Right. Same way the Father Divine did.
So Jones, knowing like, well, how do I appeal to an oppressed group in order to get them to give up part of themselves, give up their identity to take on a different one? How do I do that? Well, let me go get the person who's illiterate. Let me get the person and teach them how to think,
right,
so that they can align themselves with something that they feel is greater than them, that they're a part of this movement, that they actually have a role in history,
mm-hmm.
You know, anyone is going to latch onto that.
Yeah, and it's an interesting parallel too, Andrew, like with just the church in general right now. There's so many churches right now that their primary focus is this, you know, 10 steps to have a spicier marriage. You know, here's 3 steps to, you know, being well rested. I think I was hanging out with someone last night, and he was talking about the church he previously went to, and we're just showing some of the sermons, and it's like, this is so watery and surface level. Where is the ability to know God's word for yourself and to know who Jesus is? And because, I mean, just with the cults that we're dealing with, you know, I've had to really kind of dig in. This has really forced me in my personal walk. Like, I've got to know who Jesus is. I got to know the fun. I need to rediscover the Trinity. Because every single cult they take and they distort these things. But there's so many churches whose focus is on these nice little, you know, Jesus is wonderful. God is your friend. God is your best friend ever, ever, ever. And it feels like, you know, God is more like the subject of a Taylor Swift song than he is really some, you know, the heavy holiness of God. You know, something like Paul Washer would talk about.
Yeah.
So you have that, but how many pastors right now would say, you know, take up the Bible and compare what I'm saying and don't listen to me? And that's one of the things, you know, I talk with Pastor Jeff about, is that's one of the things that he says in his sermons, that, you know, if there's anything that I say, like, don't listen to what I say if it contradicts the scriptures, because we have a standard outside of ourselves.
That's right.
And that's something that you have to have. So in that regard, what we're going to do is we're going to jump into a couple of clips that's really kind of really expound upon Jim Jones and what happened at the People's Temple. And it's, and again, this stuff is important because there's a lot of churches who, I wouldn't say they're, you know, who knows what their outcome will be, but this is part and parcel to what a lot of churches right now are trying to teach. This is what a lot of prominent Bible teachers, in a way, especially when it just comes to not necessarily the New Age stuff, but the equality stuff and the Marxism stuff, you're seeing that with a lot of prominent Bible teachers right now, and we'll probably jump onto that probably in the next episode. But for now, what we're going to do is we're going to play a couple of clips just from Jones's sermons about divine economic socialism, and we are going to do our best to kind of break it down for you guys and respond. So here we go with the first clip. Here we go.
Hold on to your seats.
And it always will have a body. If they were to mow me down with a machine gun out here today, if they were to burn me out here and make nothing but ashes, in 5 minutes I would be standing here. In 5 minutes I would be speaking here. I said it, and I will keep my word. I said I cannot fail, and I promise you, you will never lose if you follow me.
Yeah, so again, you see the beginning of him using that language about the divine socialism. We kind of broke it down. That's where he's coming from. Now, just so you know, there was a lot of hardcore manipulation that has happened here. In the same way how, like, a lot of churches today, they will try and use, you know, hypnotic music, you know, very repetitive hypnotic music. They will use lights. They'll use fog machines. They'll try to kind of get people into almost like an altered state of consciousness to try. And that way we can get closer to God. And you've seen that with different, you know, Christian concerts that are out there, and a lot of times in churches that are out there. And that's just a commonality that you see. So, but with Jim Jones, what he's talking about being riddled with bullets there. So one of the, I'll precede that by saying, one of the aspects of a cult is something called a siege mentality, where they, any sort of criticism, any sort of attack, they automatically reinforces their cult identity, because they assume any sort of attack against them as persecution.
Right.
That could be simple, like disagreement. Hey, I think the Bible says this. Oh, you're persecuting me. Get away from me. Don't talk to me. That's the mentality that a cult has. So Jones knows they all have the siege mentality. So he would do multiple times. He created false flags where he acted like one, the church would, there was death threats, or there's like these racist things that were, you know, threatening. There's threats to, you know, lynch his church congregation members. Now, that was a reality. That was a truth. But with the People's Temple, there are multiple times where these things were staged and people thought that they were really being oppressed or being persecuted against because whenever the police tried to get an actual report, they didn't really match up and stuff like that. So in this particular case, what ended up happening is that there was a time where I think there was a picnic going on in the People's Temple, and Jones staged this whole incident where he allegedly, there were real gunshots with blanks that came out,
right.
People thought he was being killed. And even in the recent documentary I saw, Stephen Jones, he talks about how he was, they figured out later this was all fake and it was all staged. So at the time, they're having a picnic, shots ring out, and all of a sudden blood starts coming down from Jim Jones's chest, and a couple of the nurses, they grab him, they run off, and people are freaking out. They're sobbing uncontrollably, and they think that there's this attack and their leader is dead.
Their God's been shot.
Yeah, the God has been shot. And so what ends up happening, Jones all of a sudden miraculously comes back and shows there's no bullet holes in. I healed myself. And people believed him. It's almost like you think about that Easter with that Newsboys song, my God's not dead, he's surely alive. But it's like, we're laughing here, but like that's what they
right.
thought. Mm-hmm. That's what they thought. This whole ploy, they got completely conned, hoodwinked. They thought that Jim Jones was shot and then he was healed. So what you'll see is so this last clip you just heard, he's like, oh, if I got shot, and you know, I would be able to heal myself. He was in that moment setting people up for that historical event when he faked his own death and then came back to life. So that's right. just one of the many Jones stories. So here is the follow-up clip to Jones in regards to that attack. Now kind of letting people know that all is well and why it happened. And this is kind of crazy because he kind of takes into, he borrows a little Christian lingo. So we're going to break that down.
They're not going to tell this story. No, they're not. But I'll tell you, the tide's against them. They may bring us down, down, seemingly in natural circumstances, as they did Jesus so many days ago when they hung him on the tree and he seemed to be a loser and laid away in a tomb. But my followers got me out of the tomb there, and they'll always get me out of the tomb. I shall always come out. You can't keep me in a tomb. You can't keep the Christ idea, the revolutionary idea of socialism. You can't keep it in a tomb. You just nail it to a tree and it'll come off the tree. You tried to nail me with a few guns not long ago, shot me down before all this congregation. My people screamed in such agony, I don't want to ever hear that agony again. They screamed as I fell on the floor, blood gushing out of the holes in my chest. But I said, I'm not ready. My time hadn't come. You weren't organized yet enough. You weren't the little gods that I want you to be, because I'm daddy God and you're my baby gods, and I want you to be just like me. And I rose on that floor and I said, I'm not ready. And they put the nurses put their finger through the three holes. They're here just like a kind of a triangle, put their fingers in them. And they couldn't, they said, well, you can't continue. We get a finger in there to swab out the mucus and blood. You must go to a doctor. I said, I'm the doctor and I'm the lawyer and I'm all I need.
Wow. So it's pretty amazing that he just had the ability to have that master manipulation. So not only do you see that incredible manipulation, and I kind of hope you guys see the context of that in regards to him, faking his own death. And he did that multiple times. He would do these drills just, kind of moving forward to when they went down to Guyana. He would do these drills called White Knights. And he had times where he acted like the Guyanese army were attacking them and they were firing off gunshots, but somehow, they survived and they pushed them back, and people were just like, yeah, we're unstoppable. But it was completely fake, because the Guyanese army, they were such a minimal force that they really didn't have, the last thing they needed had to worry about was, this little commune there. So it was just so false and so pretense and fabricated. It was just incredible. But again, you see, Andrew, it's just amazing, with everything we talk about building up, he's now, we look at the God of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
God is, we talk about the Ten Commandments. It says, God is all the Ten Commandments and all of God's law, it expounds upon the character of God. Like when it says, thou shalt not bear false witness. How do we know? Why is that relevant? Because God's not a liar. God is truth. But here we have someone, here we have people who have placed their faith in a God, Jim Jones, and here he is bearing false witness
and
using this new age, new thought of divine economic socialism, mixing it with lying to these people. And these people are cheering, clapping their hands the whole time.
He's creating fully devoted followers of his idea that he's trying to support.
True believers.
He's trying to create true believers out of these people. These are illusions for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So they can give up their full identity and feed in to even his own disillusionment of the truth God principle of this Christ consciousness inside of Jim Jones, that that he was the highest level of truth, and that he was able to overcome this physical reality because he and only he was connected to this higher spiritual plane,
right?
You know, bringing in back in that new thought philosophy that he taught and believed in.
Yeah.
And that's what he was doing to his followers. He was trying to prove that. Look at my miracles.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me. Follow me.
Right.
You know, and he wanted to create a land of communism.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wanted. He had things systematically planned out.
Yes.
You know, even with fake suicide drills where he would give people drinks, even back in San Francisco, they would drink it and he would tell them, okay, that was poisoned. We're all going to die.
Right.
And it was, of course, a lie, but he wanted to see what people's reactions were.
Right.
You see, he's testing the waters. He's dipping his feet in. He wants to create a movement that's going to have this radical ending in order to protest the conditions of this inhumane world.
Right.
You know?
And it's one of those things that Andrew Schwartz talked about this, and this is a commonality with many cults, Andrew, is that I'm sure you'd agree with this, is that what they will do typically, and she talked about this in her interview, if you guys haven't listened to it, Escaping Scientology, Part 1 and Part 2. It's an absolutely fantastic interview. One of our close and dear friends, Andrew Schwartz, was a former Scientologist, was deep in the Church of Scientology. Definitely check out that episode. But what she talked about is that if you can get someone at the very beginning to do something weird or something they're not comfortable with, that sets the precedent moving forward to go deeper into the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
What, I mean, whatever cult that it is, if it starts off just by believing the basic things about Jim Jones and just, you know, going to one of his, you know, church services, you're not familiar with the Bible, and just sort of smiling and nodding and then going, being part of his healing services, but then going deeper down that rabbit hole. The same goes with Scientology. The same goes with Mormonism and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Well, if we can get you to pray about the Book of Mormon, have a little funny, fuzzy feeling, allegedly from the Holy Ghost, that's the way you can know that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God. So you have that experience, and that sets you up to then be baptized in the church and eventually get a temple recommend and start having, you know, temple rituals where you're, you know, you've got green aprons and you're wearing the, like, all white clothing and following these rituals and then believing that you're going to become a god one day. And like, they never talk about that right away. That's deeper down the road, and they mask everything in Christian terminology, the same way that Mormons, and we love them, we care for them, we want them to know the true gospel of Jesus Christ. They'll take a scripture that Jim Jones twisted as well too, when Jesus says, you know, ye are gods,
right?
And Mormons will twist that and say that means there's many gods and you can become one one day. Jones would take the exact, we don't have clips of it in this episode, but there's tons of transcripts where you can find where Jones said this exact thing, where he would quote the Bible, he'd quote that verse, ye are gods, saying that you need to wake the divine idea of divine economic socialism within you. And they would do the exact same things. But what's interesting too, Andrew, is that, and for those of you who are listening, you know, you guys don't have to become experts in everything that Jim Jones believed. You don't have to necessarily become expert in all these different cults. If you guys become familiar with what the Bible says and who Jesus Christ is, when you guys hear this stuff, when you hear these scriptures being twisted, you know you have a standard in which to measure it against. You can take out both of these destructive cults, you know, and that's something to think of as well. Yeah. So what I want to jump into as well is just a couple more clips from Jones. And like I said, he did a lot of his miracles, but his miracles were also in correlation to what his worldview was. So what we'll do is we're going to go ahead and just play this little clip here, and then we will go ahead and jump into, we're going to give our comments on it.
Beyond the judgment of men, I come in the consciousness of Christ, motivated by the Spirit that formulated the Word in the beginning. That Word is dwelling in us now, made flesh, vital to save. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It will divide. It's a discerner of the thought. Yes, it will divide the unreal from the real. It will look into the heart and know the intents and purposes. I am content that I have come in my Father's name, and you can live in your Father's name today in the dispensation of divine love that not only loves your neighbor, but your enemies, and does good to all that despitefully use you. I say that is as different from the Old Testament as light is from darkness, as water is from dirty oil.
Wow. Wow. So give me your thoughts just on that little statement right there.
Yeah. So listening to that and thinking of it as a Christian, what I'm hearing is the differences between Christ consciousness versus the Christian's perspective of the person of the Holy Spirit and how he works in bearing truth in our lives.
Yeah.
So Jim Jones is making a point that it's this Christ consciousness. Once you have awakened this within yourself, that all of the truth will be defined. But mm-hmm. what we don't realize is that this truth is a standard that he's creating. Now that you're a God, you can create a different standard and follow it. Therefore, it will contradict what the Bible even talks about with what is love.
Right.
You know, what is right, what is wrong? Well, now, since you are God, you are the standard. That's why we see with New Age teachings, there's so many different gurus out there who are teaching different things. Well, because it's all relative to them.
Mm-hmm.
But to the Christian, it's not. And what we have is actually the Holy Spirit,
right,
who leads us, guides us. He teaches us a person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to them, they have the exact opposite, but they'll call it the same thing, right?
Right.
Like, it's just really interesting.
Yeah, and what's interesting, man, is that what caught my attention too is that, you know, in the very beginning he's using that, talking about the Christ consciousness,
mm-hmm.
but then he talks about loving your neighbor. But so again, he's hijacking. Again, cults will always do this. They claim to be in line with the Bible. They claim to be in line with Christianity. They will take verses like the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how can you really love your neighbor? One has to precede the other. You have to have peace with God. You have to have reconciliation with God through what Jesus Christ did on the cross, sacrificing himself for us. But what does the Bible say? It says that we love because Christ first loved us.
Amen.
In the old covenant, what did God say? He says, I'm going to take out your heart of stone. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, and I'm going to cause you to walk in my attributes. The law of God says love does no harm to its neighbor. So there, you can't have an equal standard for justice or equality or anything like that apart from what the law of God says, and ultimately from a changed heart by the gospel. These people they'll hijack the language. If they bring their own ideals into it, it's ultimately going to turn into a twisted, perverted form of justice. And that's something that you saw with the People's Temple. That's what you see with many of these destructive cults, even now, with just, you know, policies and things like that today that are done that ignore the law of God, like the right, you know, no testimony, no, don't entertain an accusation unless it's brought by two or three witnesses, you know, one, you know, not the ability to be protected against self-incrimination. That is something that the law of God protects us from, is supposed to protect us from. But what do we have today in society? We have this guilty until proven innocent. That's what's prevalent today. And that's what happens when you lose the standard of that, whether it comes to, you know, the state and what's going on in today's political climate or a destructive cult like this. You end up with a twisted form of justice. And that's what happened with Jones and the People's Temple. So in spite of everything they did, and in fact, a lot of you may not know this, is that almost about a year prior to November 18th, 1978, when this happened, there's a compelling photo, and we might post this on our Instagram page if you guys want to see it there, or maybe our Facebook. But Jim Jones, there's a picture of him receiving the Martin Luther King Humanitarian Award at the People's Temple, and people are saying, yes, you've done these wonderful things. But at that same time, he was abusing his church members. he was having sex with both the male and the females in the church, and he is dealing, and that was part of his way to show that he was God over them. Like I said, one of the aspects of cults is they have the sexual abuse and sexual exploitation of their members. That's what they do. And so you have all of these things, and it's all twisted. So again, if you end up departing from the law of God, departing from the standards, you end up getting a twisted form of justice, either from, you know, the state that thinks they're God, or in this case, Jim Jones, who thought he was God.
Yeah, one really important distinction I want to point out between Christianity and New Thought, the New Thought movement, is Christianity, the walk of Christianity is a walk of humility, right?
Right.
The walk of New Thought is being God.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Philippians 2, you know, 4 through, I think it's like 14 or 15, where literally it says, have this mind in you that existed in Christ, or that was in Christ Jesus, who existed eternally in the form of God.
Right.
You know, how he humbled himself. It's all about humility. It's about how God himself, us undeserving, literally humbled himself, took the form of a man, was fully obedient to the will of the Father, and died on the cross for us. However,
yes.
New Thought is like, no, we are God. The mind of Christ is this Christ consciousness, you know? And it's just a roundabout, almost slap in the face to our Creator.
Right.
It's the exact opposite, and it's shameful, to be honest, to try to say, hey, look, I'm a creature from the dirt. However, I am God.
Right, exactly. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play just like one more clip, just kind of talking about Jones and him taking this New Age ideology that he learned from Father Divine, and really kind of carrying this over, and you'll kind of see again how he'll take Christian terminology. And again, this is something to where, you know, you look at someone who's a prominent New Age teacher who's very popular, like Oprah Winfrey. She has a lot on the Oprah Network. There's a lot of, you hear her use a lot of this same language. And in fact, I would contest that if Jones was around today, and let's just say people didn't really know about the abuses that were going on, and Guyana was probably 5 years down the road, he would probably be on Oprah, and he probably would have gotten a lot of cheers, and maybe he would have gotten a book deal.
He would have been praised.
Yeah, he probably could have written a book and be part of the Oprah Book Club. And that's just the reality. And again, if you contrast what happened then, the political climate, versus today, he would have been seen as a hero because that's what he had done. He had painted himself as this social justice equality. He had the rainbow family. He really made it an equality. Like one of the things, if you look at the People's Temple, if you look at the videos, there's always, they have a person who's white, and then they have someone who's black next to each other. If you look at it, that was very strategic to show this unique equality, and that's what drew people in, because people would see there's all this racial tension going on, and they walk into the People's Temple, and look, there's people of different color together, and they're part of this movement. Because there's so much hate outside. Look at all this love that's here. But
they're
again,
kissing each other.
So they took and they exploited that. So. Let's go ahead and just play this last clip, and then we're going to kind of talk real quickly about Jones's healing that went on. So here we go. This is Jim Jones talking about the devil.
There's only one kind of devil, two-legged. Devil is a state of consciousness. Satan is a state of Saturn vibration, and it's too complicated to get into. There's no such thing as a personality. He looked around at Peter one time and he said, Peter, you're a rock. I'm going to build a church on you. Another time he looked at Peter and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he was in a state of aggravation and unbelief and cynicism and ugly old morose nasty spirit. You know, you've seen a lot of devils like that. He looked around at Peter and he said, Satan, get thee behind me. Because Satan isn't a man, he's a state of mind. Well, anyway.
Yeah, so, as you get, like I said, if you guys are familiar with the original, familiar with Jesus, what the Bible says about him, we should be able to right away say, I reject that. What does the Bible say in the book of Colossians, chapter 1? It says that Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. All things were created by him and for him, whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. So, in the same way that the Mormons, for example, would twist who Jesus is and say that he's a created being, that him and Satan are brothers. And we would reject that claim by saying that Jesus Christ created all things, including Satan, as that the devil is not some impersonal consciousness. That's complete and utter nonsense, and we should reject that because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the unique Son of God in human flesh, the firstborn, which means unique and one of a kind, which was how the Greek and the apostolic language rendered that, is that Jesus Christ created all things, including Satan, that Satan was an angel that was created to give worship to God, but he went in rebellion against that. So you can see right away, we have a purpose to reject that. So I want to just jump in real quickly, and I appreciate you guys hanging around with us. It's important to know that Jim Jones did a lot of miracles, and that his miracles were related real quickly to his ideas of divine economic socialism. So real quickly, can you just comment with all your research that you've done, the miracles that he would do? Again, a lot of the stuff was staged and were ploys, but in hit with Jones and his ability to want to, you know, manipulate people, and he believed that he was God. He was wanting to convince others that he was God. How did that correlate with him doing like these miracles at the People's Temple?
It correlates to him doing these miracles at the People's Temple because he's trying to make a point. He's trying to have their full allegiance.
Yes.
He's trying to get these people to replace their personal identity with his identity. You know, so they will follow him in his every whim. You know, the same people who are sexually exploited by Jim Jones because they're giving themselves to God.
Right.
You see? So in regards to the divine economic socialism, there's no better vehicle really than an ideology to support that, saying, I'm God, listen to me, this is the truth, this is the standard.
Mm-hmm.
So these people are going to give up everything, they're going to follow him. They have a hope now placed not in Christ, but a hope placed in a man who calls himself God,
right.
And they follow him down to Guyana, and they want to work on this agricultural development in order to create this promised land to usher in the future. So now not only do they have this hope in Jones, but they have a hope that they're creating something that's going to have a lasting impression in history, which they think is going to be a good lasting impression. Little did they know the difference, right? So we have the same thing happening with the peace mission movement.
Right?
So what ended up happening in the peace mission movement, which we didn't really hit on this in the last episode, but Father Divine had a doctrine of celibacy. So all of his devout followers were celibate.
Right.
And since they're celibate, even now they never procreated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a slow suicide. We can see the correlation between the peace mission movement and
the
People's Temple. Yeah. Right. So there's still a few, I think, alive today from the peace mission movement, but they're a slow suicide in protest to the conditions of this inhumane world. Right.
Yes.
However, Jim Jones and theirs was an immediate, a fast suicide,
right.
Murder suicide, protesting the conditions of this inhumane world. And we have the same thing happening today. We have a lot of little Jim Jones running around who will point the finger looking down on him saying, oh man, what happened was horrible. However, they're going to Planned Parenthood and they're actually having abortions. And if you ask them why, they're going, well, my child wouldn't be able to live well. I can't take care of them.
I'm having an abortion to protest the conditions of an inhumane world because my child's unfit to live in this planet.
Yeah, we've got
they're going to suffer.
We've got little Jim Jones running around everywhere.
Right.
We have this movement living on. It's infiltrated our society. And
exactly.
We see it today with, you know, democratic socialism.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that really did affect our society, but it wasn't a positive outcome by any means.
Right.
It's a stain, but it's a stain that's going to be crushed by Christ's feet.
Right.
And God, since he ordains everything, it's going to further his kingdom in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And as Christians, we have to stand up. We have to, you know, expose the evil for what it is. And we have to give the truth and we have to preach the gospel so his sheep will hear his voice, you know?
Exactly. And that, Andrew, everything you said is so good and powerful. And I hope you guys are really, taking in what we're saying here. And definitely, you know, let us know what you thought of this episode. Give us your comments. I want to play a clip when we're talking about the emphasis of miracles, because it's important that a lot of cults right now, just a lot of movements, especially even in the church, there's this emphasis on the supernatural and the miracles. But And again, the Bible talks about there is a supernatural world, talks about there's the heavenly places, and there's a real spiritual battle, and that's the reality. But there's always this focus on, you know, the miraculous and the miracles. But what does the law of God say? That even if a prophet comes, they do miraculous things. If they say, let's go after other gods, do not follow them. Mm-hmm. So this clip I'm about to play for you, just one clip very quickly, excuse me, of Jones doing a healing service. And I've never been able to hear this clip without just getting knots in my stomach. Because again, we all know how this ended. But here is Jones teaching, having this lady believe that she is being healed. And he's using our language, our terminology to basically propagate this idea that he's God, that correlates all the way back to India, this new age, new thought that was cloaked in Christianity. So here we go.
As we concentrate that the gifts of the Holy Spirit might function, or what the secularist might speak of as the paranormal, let us believe. Let us believe. Sister Ingram, you're concerned about the losing of your sight. You're not able to see me clearly. Things just a blur to you. You have to stumble around lately through crowds and are not able to see even people's faces close up to you clearly.
That's true.
You've told me nothing about your condition. Is that correct?
No, I haven't.
Give that little sweetheart a little bit of love. Thank you, baby. Peace. Now,
wait.
Take your glasses off. Just dare in our faith. We've seen Sister Brown here, who was blind, totally healed. We saw one of our sisters blind from her childhood. It could be hysterical blindness, whatever. We're not concerned. She was blind and could not see. Now, look at my face. I'm going to hold up some fingers. You concentrate hard. I love you. The people love you. And most importantly, Christ loves you. What do you see? How many fingers?
Three.
One finger. You don't even need your glasses, child. Let's all be thankful as she cries back there. Let's cry and rejoice with her.
And this, my friends, is why theology matters. Deuteronomy chapter 13 says, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether or not you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul. So, there were historically a lot of these miracles that were staged and were fake. That's definitely documented. And they talk about in a lot of these documentaries. There's an aspect of the supernatural, though, we have to take into account that Jim Jones was a false teacher. What he taught and believed was satanic. And that Satan has the ability to produce miracles. When Moses was stood before Pharaoh, he threw the staff down and it turned into a snake. Pharaoh's magicians, they came and they did the exact same thing, but they had a different power. They had satanic and demonic power. So whether or not in this particular recording it was something that was staged or she was a plant, there is a distinct possibility, and I don't know, because again, I'm a human being with a 3-pound brain looking at this information that took place, you know, 40 years ago before I was born. there's the possibility, given what the Bible says, that he could have used satanic and demonic power to really persuade these people that he was God. And that stuff matters. So that's important to take into account. So one thing just to know, and again, we're going to wrap things up here, is that Jones, ultimately, he had this idea, the road to Jonestown. This is the spiritual road to Jonestown. Again, if you want to look at the historical events, there's some great books, like Raven is a fantastic book. There's another great book that's called The Road to Jonestown, which goes into a lot of this, the historical events. This specifically has to do with the spiritual background that a lot of these documentaries have ignored. So go ahead and like, share, tell people about this episode, leave in the comments, give us your feedback. Andrew, thank you for coming on, man. This has been very helpful, and I want to get you back on real, real soon. Thanks for coming on, man.
Dude, it's been a blessing, and it's a joy always to fellowship and hang out with you and yes. Be able to talk on Cultish. It's a blessing for me indeed, and I just want God to be glorified, the people to be edified. So
yes. So just so you guys know, we are not done with Jim Jones, because what we talked a little bit about was his, where this ended up. So on the political climate, socialism historically has led to communism as sort of the gateway to the communistic ideology. So in the same way he used socialism as a way to move about this New Thought movement, that escalated to communism, which ultimately the communist economic, the divine communism, essentially, is what led to those 900 plus bodies all over Guyana that they found a couple days later after November 18th, 1978. So we are going to talk about that in the next time we jump into Jim Jones. So what I'm going to play to wrap this thing up is just kind of to give you guys a hint about what the next episode is going to be about, and it's very, very relevant, with especially with what's going on today with the Marxism, the cultural Marxism that's infiltrating the church right now as we speak. And it's important to kind of listen to this, because as we talked before, there's tons of little Jim Joneses out there, and as that sign in the Guyana commune in Jonestown that says that was surrounded by all the dead bodies on Jim Jones's empty throne, those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it. So once you listen to this last little clip by Jim Jones, and I hope this will get you guys excited and looking forward to the next episode, and hopefully Pastor Jeff will be back with us in studio next time. So here we go.
I decided, how can I demonstrate my Marxism? The thought was, infiltrate the church. So I consciously made a decision to look into that prospect.
Yep, that's what his plan was all along. Did you have anything you want to say, Andrew, before we let people get about their busy day after listening to this podcast?
Yeah, the God of communism is bloodthirsty and he is hungry.
Yes, and he you're gonna find out that out next time we talk about the Marxist Messiah, Jim Jones. So thank you guys, and we will talk to you next time.